back up just a little bit, there was one other event that was real good. I had, in 76, we had a big fanfare out there, and I was one of 10 other people that were invited to their home to have lunch with them. And I got a tour of the house on the lake, and we had sat down for dinner. It was like 2 hours with Johnny and June at their home, and it was just fantastic. That was my high school graduation, you know, gift, I guess you want to call it. It was something else. So, but that's another story. I mean, my gosh.
Well, that's a heck of a gift. I think I got a cross pin from one of the neighbors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know. But, yeah, he was, and I've got loads, like I said, there were so many times and so many memories and too many stories, and I could tell you guys have another radio show.
Well, we'll have to have a part two to this. So, So to recap, in 1969, you watched the Johnny Cash television show, and your reaction is, what in the heck and who in the heck is this? I don't know, but I like it. And so from there, you go to the Columbia Record Club, you get records. From there, you go to the Hampton Coliseum, you see this man in concert. And from there, you essentially make the trek in the station wagon, the family truckster, all the way to Nashville. And then you hunt down the man's church and you lay in wait until he comes out.
You're making me sound like a stalker, Chuck.
No. But I'll tell you, if there was anybody, you know, worth stalking, it would be Johnny Cash. And if there was anyone that, you know, a person would want to be stalked by, it'd be Little Debbie. So that's okay. So you go all the way to Nashville and you meet him. And now you're already exceeding the dreams of most people. But then you go to his home for lunch. You spend 2 hours there. And now the dream is just about to burst. And then next thing you know, Johnny Cash invites you up to the stage, and you are not only the first, but in the end, you're the only woman to ever play lead guitar for Johnny Cash.
Right.
Those are amazing stories.
And it was just, it was so precious and so sweet that he was so gracious. I was around him so many times for over 20 years. I followed his career, and of course I still do. I think it was 22 years that I saw him in all the different concerts and all the different places, and many, many times backstage, and sometimes in longer times than others that I would get to visit with him and chat with him. But he never, never was rude to me, or I never saw him be ugly or rude or not gracious with anyone. And, you know, nowadays, to get access to so many different celebrities in the country music business or any other, I guess, you have to pay now, you know, like thousands of dollars at times, and they have these meet and greets, but they're charging for those. I mean, and I don't want to mention any names, but, I mean, he never was like that. I mean, you're just always so nice. And Lou, I have to give credit to Lou Robin, his manager. You know, I would write to Lou or, you know, ask him if I could come to say hi to Johnny. Or somehow I'd have a gift for him or something. And he said, sure, come on back. And it just, the whole entourage in June was always so wonderful. I mean, that was some of the most precious times of my life. And what an honor for me to share these stories to these new fans that have discovered Johnny through various ways, like through the movie that came out, and then the Walk the Line movie and the American recordings, that when he had all the new fans that came on there. And of course, all of us, the older ones, and then the ones that were the generation before us, before me, you know, there's just a bond and a camaraderie and a love that is, that's a thread through all of this. And it all starts off with Johnny and June and the family and how the music touched all of our lives. He was something else. There'd never be another Johnny Cash.
You're absolutely right about that. And you're also right in that it all started, and it all starts with the music. Mm-hmm. And I know that everyone out there listening to this show is They're dying to know. Okay, Debbie, you've had this lifetime of love for Johnny Cash and for his music. What in the world are your top five favorite songs? I mean, I'm dying to know, and I think everyone out there listening wants to know. And so let's go through your list, and we'll play each song for our listeners. And the number five song on Debbie Horton's top five list of favorite Johnny Cash songs is Hey Porter. So tell us why. Why is Hey Porter one of your favorites?
Well, that was the first song that Johnny released on Sun Records. And that was one of the first Johnny Cash songs that I really got a hold of the beat and the drive and the words and the story that was connected with that song. It was a song that he had written as a poem for Stars and Stripes magazine when he was in Germany, if I'm correct on that. I think I'm right on that. And he came home, and that was they put it to music, and there it was. And the guitar ride, which that's the instrumental part in between the verses that Luther Perkins is doing, is so distinct. Each note is just so crisp and so sharp. And the thing that is so interesting to me, and not just this song, but so many of the Johnny Cash songs from the Sun time, it's like the verse would sound one way, but the ride, or the instrumental part, the solo guitar part, would sound totally different. It'd be like two different songs, you know? Where so many songs, the guitar part in between the verses is just pretty much a mirror of the song itself. Well, that's what, to me, was the genius, part of the genius of songs like Hey Porter, and that big guitar bend at the front of the song is so awesome, and the story is very exciting. And it was one of the first ones I learned how to do some Luther Perkins style of picking on. So I played my guitar a lot with this song.
Well, let's take a listen. The number five song on Debbie's top five list of favorite Johnny Cash records and Johnny's first ever release on the Sun label, Hey Porter.
Hey Porter, would you tell me the time? How much longer will it be till we cross that Mason-Dixon line? At daylight, would you tell that engineer to slow it down? Or better still, just stop the train, 'cause I want to look around. Hey Porter, what time did you say? How much longer will it be till I can see the light of day? When we hit Dixie, will you tell that engineer to ring his bell? And ask everybody that ain't asleep to stand right up and yell. Hey Porter, it's getting light outside. This old train is puffing smoke and I have to strain my eyes. But ask that engineer if he will blow his whistle, please, 'cause I smell frost on cotton leaves and I feel that southern breeze. Hey Porter, please get my bags for me. I need nobody to tell me now that we're in Tennessee. Go tell that engineer to make that lonesome whistle scream. We're not so far from home, so take it easy on the steam. Hey Porter, please open up the door. When they stop this train, I'm gonna get off first, 'cause I can't wait no more. Tell an engineer I said thanks a lot and I didn't mind the fare. I'm gonna set my feet on southern soil and breathe that southern air.
There you go, the number five song on Debbie Horton's top five list of favorite Johnny Cash records and his first single on Sun, Hey Porter. That takes us to the number four song. And the number four song is, Debbie, it's a song that, like many others that Johnny recorded over the years, he did it more than once. And what, you know, it seemed like when he found something that he really liked and that he really believed in, he would record that song at different stages of his career. And this song is no exception. The number four song on your list is Committed to Parkview. Tell us why.
That is the neatest song. The version that I liked the best was from the One Piece at a Time album. And Committed to Parkview is just got one of these haunting, chilling kind of stories to it. When I listened to some Johnny Cash songs, I always thought it was like going to the movies, you know, because you got a history lesson and you got a visual. They painted pictures. The songs weren't just these, you know, I'm so sad, or I love you, I love you, I love you. There was more to it. There were stories. So, and some of the stories were kind of dark, and some of the stories were, they made you think about things, you know, a little bit different. But Committed to Parkview starts off about a song about a man talking about a mental institution, basically, or a place where people would go for rehab, you know, type thing. I believe it's a real place in Nashville. And as the song goes on, which I don't want to give it away if some of your listeners have never heard it, it has a twist at the end that really makes you go, wow. And just recently, and I guess in the last maybe 5 or 6 years, Porter Wagner, one of the last songs he ever recorded was this song. And Marty Stewart said that Johnny wrote it for Porter. Now, I can't verify that, but that's what he said. But it's always been one of my favorite songs, and they also did it on a Highwayman album too. But the original cut was my favorite. It's a good Johnny Cash story song.
Well, I agree with you, and let's get straight to the twist for our listeners right now. The number four song on Debbie Horton's top five list of favorite Johnny Cash records. From the One Piece at a Time album, 1976, Committed to Parkview.
There's a man across the hall who sits staring at the floor, and he thinks he's Hank Williams. Hear him singing through the door. There's a girl in 202 who stops by to visit me, and she talks about her songs and the star that she should be. There's a lot of real fine talent staying in or passing through, and for one thing or another, they're committed to Parkview. There's a girl in 207 coming down on Thorazine, and the superstar's ex-drummer trying to kick Ben's a dream. There's a real fine country singer who has tried and tried and tried. They just brought him in this morning and attempted suicide. There are those who never made it, those who did and now are through. Some came of their own good choosing, some committed to Parkview. There's a girl who cries above me, loud enough to wake the dead. They don't know what she has taken that has scrambled up her head. There's a boy just down below me who's the son of some well-known. He was brought in by his mother 'cause his daddy's always gone. There's a bum from down on Broadway and a few quite well-to-do who have withdrawn from the rat race and committed to Parkview. They wake me about 6:30, just before the morning meal. While they're taking my blood pressure, they ask me how I feel, and I always say, fantastic, there ain't nothing wrong with me. And then they give me my injection, and I go right back to sleep. And my days are kind of foggy, and my nights are dreamy too. For they're taking good care of me while committed to Parkview.
Hey folks, call your friends, call your neighbors, open up the windows and shout out to anyone that's listening, because I'll be right back with more Johnny Cash, Late and Alone, right after this.